Hello, friends from the IMX magazine. This is Cristobal Rojas, your favorite collaborator. And tonight, on a Friday evening, I have a very special guest. His name is Felix Gurrola. How are you, Felix?
Hey, how's it going, Chris? I'm doing just fine, man. Having a good time here.
Great, great. Felix is a teacher. How long have you been a teacher for?
Just about 8 years.
About 8 years. And I believe we met at a school, right?
Yes, we did. We sure did.
How long has it been? Probably the same time, right?
We met back in 2014, to be precise.
Okay, I wouldn't remember. Honestly, I mean, if you had asked me, I wouldn't have remembered.
Yeah, it was actually back. It was around June 2014.
Okay, all right. Okay, yes, great. I know that. I remember the place where we met, not the time, right? But anyways, we had a lot of fun there, right?
Yes, we did.
All right. Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself so that people get to know you?
Sure. Well, hello, guys. My name is Felix Azael Gurrola Robles. I was born and raised in Monterrey, Mexico, of course. But I did most of my studies in Texas, in the United States. I did junior high school, and even college. I went to college. I was graduated from University of Texas, Rio Grande. And my major is biological sciences, but I also got like a second minor degree in medical laboratory. So that's my major. That's what I got when I was back in college. So after I graduated, I worked in the medical field for a few years, guys. But anyways, that's what I did in the States. And it was really fun, guys. You know, it was really fun those years, my academic studies over there in Texas, because I met a lot of people. I met a lot of friends. And not only that, I mean, I got to experience the different culture, even though it was kind of close to the border, but still, the culture over there, it's different. And I had that gave me the opportunity to experience, you know, the American culture, you know, just like the way you see in movies, kind of like that, the dances, the sports, you know, that kind of stuff. It was really fun. But anyways, I lived over there for quite a few years, as you can tell. But right now I'm back in my hometown, Monterrey. And I come from a very big family, guys. You know, I always make fun of it when I tell people, my friends, you know, the first time, you know, about when I talk about my family, because I have 6 sisters and 6 brothers, and I, of course. So yes, it is.
That's a big family.
It is a big family. So you can imagine living here in Mexico back then when I was a kid. It was a little, you know, a little tough, but we had fun. You know, my parents always did their best to give us, you know, the best possible things here. And eventually they took some of us over there to the States, because at that time, even before I was born, my dad was working over there in the States. So to kind of be closer to him, my mom and him decided to take the youngest ones. And I was one of them, as a matter of fact. So we ended up going over there. So we went to school over there, and it was really, really fun. So that's a little bit about my academic background. Right now, like Chris mentioned, I've been teaching for about 8 years already. Yes, I changed my career, you know, which was working in the medical lab, which I really liked a lot, you know. I really liked my field, working in the lab, working with the microscopes and all that kind of juicy stuff, you know, microbes, bacteria and all that. It was really fun. But when I decided to kind of change my career, when I came back over here, I was like, you know what? I want to do something different. And teaching was my best option. I said, well, I know the language. And I decided to start taking, you know, courses here and there. And in 2014, you know, pushed by one of my brothers, he said, you know what, why don't you just look for a place, a school, and where you can get like a certification. And I was like, well, yeah, I can do that. So I started, you know, searching for schools here and there. And I found one in Guadalajara, as a matter of fact. So I went for a, it was like a summer, kind of like a summer course. It was an intensive course, as a matter of fact. So I went over there for about 5 weeks or so. And I did some, it was not training, but it was like a summer school focused on, you know, being a teacher, teaching English as a foreign language. So I went over there before I actually started teaching. And it was really fun because it was a completely different world, you know, for me, because I was used to working in the lab, in the medical lab, doing this, doing that, examining blood samples and all that. And it was really fun. So I did that and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I want to start teaching. And I started teaching, you know, since 2014, and here I am, I'm still teaching. And I think I have plenty of experience when it comes to teaching English as a foreign language. And also, I've met a lot of good people, teachers that have actually taught me little things here and there. So I've learned a lot from different people, you know, during this journey as a teacher, including Cristobal, of course. Right? I remember you used to kind of coach me, do this, don't do that. So it was really fun. So you were one of my first mentors, I should say, you know, when I was starting teaching, because when I got here, you were already a teacher. So yes. It's been really fun for me, guys. I mean, knowing English has opened me doors, and especially this one, the one about teaching. And I like it because it gives me the chance to meet new people. And not only that, I mean, believe it or not, you still learn while you're teaching. You know, I've been learning a lot of things from students. And that's why I like it, because it's a nonstop learning process for you as a teacher. So it's worth it, you know. So changing a little bit of subject, things that I like besides teaching, I like sports, guys. You know, I used to play different kind of sports, and that's one of the things the United States gave me also. Give me that chance, give me that opportunity to enter into the sports world. Because I, when I was over there, I did a lot of sports. I mean, I played soccer, baseball, basketball, track and field. So it was a constant training and practicing these and that, different sport, finish one season, start the other one. So it was really fun, you know. So I'm a sports guy. So I did a lot of sports when I was in high school. Definitely in college also. I played some soccer, a little bit of softball. And I also did a little bit of dancing. You know, believe it or not, I did a little bit of dancing when I was in college. So my life in high school, university, it was always busy. I always had something to do. I always had an activity to do every single day, you know, for all those years when I was in high school, when I was in college. And it was really fun. You know, it was really fun. Acquiring all this knowledge over there. But I like sports right now. At this moment in, you know, in my life, I don't play any sports anymore, but I try to stay in shape, you know. I kind of do my little routines of jogging in the morning, do a little bit of exercise sometimes in the morning or sometimes at, you know, evenings. So I try to stay in shape, you know, not as I was back then, of course, because I have other priorities, but I still do a little bit of jogging, running, exercising, you know, just nothing big, just to stay in shape, you know. But those are, that's one of the things that I like to do in my spare time. I, you know, kind of like my hobby thing. But I also like to listen to music, guys. I mean, I'm the type of guy that if I'm doing something, I have to have my radio on, even if it's just, you know, low volume. But I always have my radio, my music on. Even when I'm, you know, having my online classes, I have my little music over here on the side. Of course, it's kind of low, but I always have music. Music. I like different kind of genres of music, you know, pop. But I really like rock music. I really do like rock music. A little bit of classic music, classic rock. I'm sorry, classic rock. Some heavy metal, glam rock. You know, that's the kind of music that I like. But I like pop music also as well. You know, so I like different kind of music. If it's something that kind of, you know, brings me up, I'll listen to it. And other things that I like to do is, you know, hang around with friends, go out, you know, on the weekends, Saturdays, sometimes during the week, sometimes not much, because of course, you know, I have to go to work early in the morning. But, you know, I like to hang out with some friends. And I like to go out, you know, go eat something, or even here at home. You know, I stay here at home sometimes on the weekend, especially Sundays when that's my day off. So if I don't have anything to do, if I don't feel like going out, I just stay home, watch some movies, you know, eat some popcorn, you know, just the typical Sunday day off for me. And pets, I really like dogs. I really like animals in general, but I really like dogs. But at this moment, I don't have any pets because it is a responsibility, guys, having a pet and especially a dog. And when you don't have, you know, other people living with you, so it's a little complicated because I wouldn't want to leave my dog or my pet or whatever just being here at home all day long. So I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. So right now, this part of my life, I don't have any pets. But that's a little bit about me, guys, you know? That's who I am, and that's what I do. Chris, back to you.
All right, Felix, thank you. I'm right here. Thank you. Well, you spent your childhood here in Monterey, right?
Yes, I did.
Most of it. And did you ever visit the United States before you moved there?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Just as a family trip or something?
Because, you know, like I said, my dad, he had been working in the States even before I was born. So he used to come down to Monterrey and visit us like every 2 or 3 weeks because back then, I remember he was working in Houston. So he used to come down for like every 2 or 3 weeks. So I didn't get to see my dad much when I was growing up for that same reason, because I mean, he had to go there and work. But yes, during the summer vacations, especially sometimes during, you know, Semana Santa, Holy Week, my parents used to take us, you know, to the border here and go visit the States. So yes, I had a little bit of taste before actually going living over there.
Yeah, because I remember shopping became more popular back in the 80s, especially here in Monterrey.
Yes, it did.
It was like an activity that basically started as a hobby, and people, I remember 80s and 90s, it was like a boom. And
yes,
people used to go on weekends or on holidays.
That's right. Yeah,
they used to go shopping. McAllen is a thing.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Most that's popular exactly cities, right? And now it's a very common thing, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, going to school there, how was it? I mean, did you know any English before you moved to the United States?
As a matter of fact, no, man. I was like zero English. I was zero English. I mean, the only English I knew when I went over there, it was the English that I kind of learned from my brothers and sisters books here in Monterrey, because mm-hmm. before, you know, they, back then they were like in high school, in prepa. So I remember I used to kind of like go over and open up their books and just go through the basic words like pencil, table, you know, things like those. And that's all I knew. So when I got over there, I was like zero. And I remember this day like it is, like it just happened yesterday, man. I remember they had us all, the incoming students, in like a mini auditorium, like a mini theater. It was actually in junior high. So they were testing us. They were doing like placement exams. Okay. And of course, I was like zero, man. And I'm laughing because I remember one of the they showed me, they had like a little booklet and they had like different pictures. And I had to name them. I had to name it in Spanish and English because they wanted to see if I was psychologically, you know,
yes, you know,
good, right? So I named them in Spanish. And then when it came to naming the same pictures in English, I was like, okay, this is a table, this is a pencil. And then there was a picture of a caracol, you know, a caracol. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know this. So I just made up a word, man. I just made it up. I was like, this is what I said, man. That is a caracol, you know? That is a caracol. You know, I didn't know. I just made it up right there, man. I just wanted to say something. But it was a caracol, as I say. Well, I'm just going to say caracol. And no, man, it's still up to this day. I laugh about it because I was like, oh, man. But it was fun, man.
Yes, of course. It's just that I remember this movie at basically when you were just telling us the story. I remember this movie, one of the scenes in the movie, Stand and Deliver with Edward James Olmos. It's a great movie. It's about a teacher. He teaches mathematics, I think, and then he tries to teach, I think it's calculus, to high school students.
Is this okay? Right. Is this about a movie that that the school is like a low class?
Yes, it's in a very dangerous neighborhood.
They have no air conditioning and all that.
Yes. And then there's a moment in the movie when he has to separate students because some, like half of them, they don't speak English at all. He's Mexican-American, but I mean, he notices that students that they don't speak English, they won't learn because they don't know the language, right?
Yes.
So he says, okay, you on the other side and you over there, you speak English, go here. And he notices that and he teaches in both languages, actually.
Yes. And it's
a great movie. I mean, you guys should watch it because, I mean, it's a great movie.
Yes. I mean,
I remember that.
years ago. I need to watch it again. But I remember when they finally finished with me, you know, doing that test. Mm-hmm. When I first went into my classes, mm-hmm. I was placed in the, back then they used to call it ESL.
Okay. Classes. Oh yeah, of course.
Just
of
a
course.
Second language.
So you learn English as you went to classes.
Yeah. Because I was like zero, man. Uh-huh. The good thing is that it was ESL, so it was only students that they were like,
of course,
knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, it's not the best way to learn, but it's one of the ways to learn. I think it's faster.
Yes,
because I mean, it's a natural way. It's faster because you have to use it to learn, basically.
Now we're talking about many years ago. Now the teaching method has changed a lot, but back then that was what they had. You know, but it helped me a lot because I think I had some really good teachers that were really patient with all of us because we were a bunch of
they
people.
Had to years, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we just didn't know English at all.
What was your favorite topic?
You know what? My favorite topic in junior high school, even college, I think it was history, man.
History, okay.
History. I remember I really like history. And oh man, they over there in the States, especially Texas, I mean, they teach you history from elementary years.
Yes.
You know, and they drill it to you like there's no tomorrow. I mean, year after year, and even in college, Texas history, and then eventually American history, and then they go like worldwide. So I think history was really interesting, man, for me. Now, I have to say that even back then, I kind of inclined towards the biology kind of thing. And that's why I ended up studying eventually in college.
Yeah, you majored in that already.
Yeah.
University. All right. Do you remember in high school, being in the States already, right? Who were the popular singers or bands?
Oh man,
that everybody listened to back then.
I mean, some of them are still playing up to this day, yeah, man. I mean, we're talking about Bon Jovi, of course. Madonna, of course, you know Madonna. Yeah. We're talking about AC/DC, mm-hmm. You know Iron Maiden, even Ozzy Smith, Aerosmith. I mean, some of those bands or some of those guys or girls are still singing up to this day, man.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, do you remember by any chance the first movie you watched in English living there? Or maybe you went to the movies. I don't know if you remember one of the first movies you had to watch in English because it was the only language they were showing it in.
As a matter of fact, I have to say that the first English movie I watched was here, actually.
Okay.
You know, they used to show movies.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit. What was the movie?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember, man.
Oh, you don't remember. That's fine. That's fine.
I don't remember. But I mean, once I went over there, I mean, I had really nowhere to go because I didn't know, you know, friends. I didn't have any friends over there.
Okay, so it was, okay, all right, got it.
So
yeah, at the beginning, it was like that.
Yes, because I didn't have no, you know, friends, nothing, man. So I had to stay home and I was like, okay, let me just watch TV. So most of my TV shows, movies, they were just plain English.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I watched so many movies that I don't even remember, you know, which one was my first movie that I watched.
Okay, so that's rather than worry. Do you have a favorite one? A movie that you like to watch every year or you watch it a few times during the year?
So I have several of them, but
okay.
I have to say that the movie or movies mm-hmm. or sequels that I actually liked ever since I was in, probably high school, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, high school. And when I first went into high school, it's got to be the Rocky movies, man.
Okay, yes, very popular.
I can watch the movies over and over. And also because in high school, again, when I was in, especially when I was playing soccer, mm-hmm. our coach, he used to have like a gathering at his place mm-hmm. before having like a playoff game against other teams, right? He used to have dinner kind of thing. It was just mm-hmm. us, the players, and he used to play Rocky movies because they are so inspirational.
Yes, like, you know? To motivate you guys.
Yes, exactly. So he used to do that a lot with us. He used to show us movies like those, especially the Rocky movies. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that's another reason why I kind of like Rocky movies, because all of those movies, they have something good to share with you.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. Something to bring you up.
Yeah, because I remember those movies, obviously. My dad, he loves them. I remember the Karate Kid movies as well.
Yes.
Back to the Future.
I mean, you have exactly Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are movies that came out back in those days when I was mm-hmm. like a teenager. You know, Back to the Future, the Rambo movies also. You know, the Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I was like a movie freak.
All right. How long did it take you to learn English or basically communicate in a more complete way, just to say it?
Okay. To be able to communicate, maybe mm-hmm. not perfectly, but I was able to have a little conversation. Mm-hmm. Not so fluid, but I was able to have a conversation. I would say like 3 years, a little bit after 3 years.
Okay. You felt more confident in a way.
Yes, that's when I felt more confident. You know, that's when I, because I have to admit that when I first got there, my first 2-3 years, yeah, I was embarrassed, you know, and that's something, yeah, I guess that's something we all go through when we're learning a language, but it's okay because it's part of the process,
yes, you know.
But I remember, yes, I was a little, you know, kind of like hesitant, shy, timid to say something, you know, but that's something that eventually I overcame, you know. But yeah, my first couple of 2-3 years, yeah, I was a little kind of like, oh gosh, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, the place where I'm working at, I met a girl from Brazil. So she knows a lot of Spanish, but you can hear her accent, obviously, right? Still,
yeah,
she's been here for like I think it's gonna be 3 years. She's married to a guy from Monterey, actually. And but it looks like the Portuguese accent or the Brazilian accent at least never goes away. In a way, they still have it after many years being here. I mean, do you notice the accent there or something?
Yes, like yes, yes.
And the other person is from Haiti.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, you can hear his accent on. I mean, he speaks English and Spanish, and I think more languages. I mean, but you can hear his accent whenever he speaks English or Spanish. Yes. You hear his accent, right?
So. Yes, yes. I met a couple of people from Haiti and Portuguese when I was back in the States. So yes, it's pretty. their accent is really, really strong.
Mm-hmm. Now, Felix, when you read a book, what do you prefer, English or Spanish?
I've read both.
Uh-huh.
I read Spanish and English. Right now, as a matter of fact, or lately, I've been reading English books.
Okay.
So, yes, I like to read, I guess, reading books, English reading books more often than Spanish. But if I find a good Spanish book, I'll read it.
You read it, okay?
Yeah,
okay, so, yeah. I mean, because I mean, I just wanted people to know that I mean, it is okay. to read in both languages. I mean, if you're learning, obviously, reading in English helps, right?
Yes.
But once you master the language, you can keep on reading, right? But honestly, like in my case, I just read whatever.
Spanish, right? You know why I read in English up to this point? Because believe it or not, I still learn. From books, from reading just novels, man.
Yeah, because I mean, the English language is really extensive.
It is.
It's so many words, so many accents, so many countries.
Yes,
and the English language.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I tell my students, that reading it's part of the learning process. I mean, because living here in Mexico, yes, you get to learn. You know, you get the tools to express yourself in English, but through books you get to learn some phrases that you don't get to use or hear here in Mexico.
Yeah, and now with technology, I mean, either on your phone or on a tablet, I mean, you can also have books there. And it's like the real thing.
Idioms plus, and all that expressions that you don't get to hear every day.
And on a tablet or a phone, you can actually you just click on the word and you can get a definition in case you don't know the word.
And
you learn, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So all right.
Reading, yes, it is very important.
Of course, right. Now, when you listen to music in English, which one do you prefer?
Both.
Both.
Both. Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, my parents, my brothers, they just had music in Spanish, you know, so I was raised in listening to Spanish music, and eventually little by little English also.
All right. So
both of them.
All right. I know that you like rock music. When did you, do you remember the first songs or the first band that you listened to?
I have to say, and that's because I remember when I was growing up, when I was still a kid, you know, before going to the States, one of my brothers, he had a couple of, you know, that you remember the long plays, the big LPs?
Yeah, the records.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Those records.
He the had, vinyl records.
Yes, he had two, exactly, the vinyl ones. He had two Creedence Clearwater albums.
Okay.
So I have to say those were the first songs that I heard because of my brother. Mm-hmm. And then eventually one of my sisters, I didn't even know who was it. I remember we had a Billy Joel album also.
Yeah, of course, Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. So I have to say those were like the first ones that I got to listen to in English. And then eventually came, you know, when I became a teenager, boom, you know, I started listening to other singers and artists.
Yeah, great. Well, music in English is very popular now. I remember, I guess the 80s was like a change, or the 80s had an impact in culture around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
With movies, music, clothes, products.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, the pop culture was basically born in that year. It was more
pretty
like
much exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, pop music back then, it was like the boom, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I remember stations in Monterey where they play. They still play. I think it's called. There's a station dedicated to classic hits. I think it's the name of the station. I just don't remember the number, the frequency.
You're talking about 106.9.
I think it. I think classic, that's the one.
Uh-huh. Classic music, something like that.
Yes, yes. I mean, that I remember. I used to listen to when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and they used to play everyone there. Normally, not really heavy metal. Maybe just like commercial songs, right?
Yeah.
I remember listening to Phil Collins, Madonna, Billy Joel.
I mean, you're talking about
Michael Bolton,
yeah,
Michael Jackson,
definitely,
Cyndi Lauper, all of those singers from the 80s. I remember that. I even have a classic hits on my cell phone. Uh-huh. I have a playlist with those songs because I remember them. I
mean,
And I mean, I love rock, but I don't listen to it all the time, obviously.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I listen to it most of the time, but I mean, whenever I get bored, I guess, in a way, I just play some other songs, right?
Yeah. But you know what? Like I was telling you before, yeah, rock is what I listen to most of the time. But there's been times that I've actually listened to classic music, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. You know? It's because I kind of got the taste of classic music. I'm talking about Beethoven, Tchaikovsky.
Yes, of course.
Schumann, because in college over there, I mean, you have to go through one music class. Mm. You have to. It was one of the classes.
Okay.
So they teach you, they give you the history, you listen to music from.
It's like a complete course or subject, right?
Yes.
Related to music. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So I kind of liked it. So sometimes every now and then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to play some Mozart, Beethoven, mm-hmm. Schumacher, you know, some of those authors, I guess, from back then. Mm-hmm.
Did you remember a TV show that had an impact in your childhood?
Here in Mexico,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, the ones from the States where they were broadcasted here,
yes,
you see them. I mean,
yes, yeah, man. I used to watch TV, I was like a movie, I was a TV freak,
okay.
So back then,
watch whatever was on,
yes, but back then, I mean, guys, there were so you know, the Addams Family, the Monster Family. Mm-hmm. Oh man, there were so many of them. Flipper, Rin Tin Tin,
you know, I love those TV shows because I mean, I guess let me see how to say it. I guess the English they you would listen to was still like formal in a way.
Yeah. True.
Like, I mean, it was a daily English, you know, vocabulary, phrases and words.
Yeah.
I mean, because right now it's like a different thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I mean, now TV shows, they have to like basically show or describe, you know, situations that are trendy or that are popular on the internet or whatever. But back then, I mean, I love those shows because you learn a lot also.
You know, huh? I now that you mentioned it, I remember three shows. No, there were like four of them that I really liked. It was the $6 Million Man. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? I think it was in Spanish. I think it was El Hombre Nuclear. I think that's what it was.
He was like an android or something.
Yeah. Well,
it drinks a bell.
It was like his legs. Uh-huh. His legs and his
Bionic Man or something like that?
No, exactly. In English, it's the $6 Million Man, the Bionic Man. Okay. And also, I used to watch the Bionic Woman.
Yes.
You know? Uh-huh. That was a girl, the Bionic Woman. I also like watching, of course, definitely, Linda Carter. You're talking about the original Wonder Woman. You know? And the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah,
those were like my favorite shows, I have to say.
Now that you say that, I was watching, I mean, I just finished watching Smallville, a TV show about Superman.
Okay, yeah.
And Clark Kent's father is one of the actors from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Really?
Yeah, the blonde guy. And then in two or three episodes, you see the other guy from the Dukes of Hazzard. Uh-huh. And they give him a part there. And then like two or three episodes, they get together and they talk. They're supposed to be friends, right?
Really?
And they ride a Dodge Charger as well, but a newer version.
A new version, yeah.
Yeah, and then he enters the car the way they used to do it, through the window, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was really funny because it was, I remember that TV show from when I was a kid.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, I used to watch a lot of American TV shows here.
You know, the one that I loved and had an impact in my life? I mean, I watched most of it, was The Wonder Years.
Oh, yes. That was back in the 90s.
Yeah, because, I mean, man.
Fred Savage.
Uh-huh. It was very, you would learn a lot as a kid.
Yes, it was actually a really good show.
Yes, it was very complete. It was like everyday situations, family, drama, everything. I mean, the show was really, really complete.
And the show was based on the 60s, if I'm not mistaken, right?
There's a 60s version or TV show or something like that. They got the idea from there, yeah.
Okay.
And remember they used to say that that his friend was Marilyn Manson? Do you know that rumor? That the kid from with their glasses on this TV show, that he was Marilyn Manson.
Really? I don't know.
No, he's not. I mean, but it was like a rumor that started on the internet. Yeah. And I mean, until they finally asked Marilyn Manson if he was him, and he said, no, it's not me. It's a different actor. I mean, they looked alike. That's it.
In a kid version, right?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, those were the days, dude. I mean,
yes.
Now, technology-wise, what do you remember from back in the day, dude?
Okay, typing. I learned to type in the electrical typewriters.
Yes, I remember those.
The electrical typewriters, and that's because in high school, we had to take a typing class.
Okay.
It was part of our curriculum that we had to take a typing class. So that's where I learned to type, in an electrical typewriter. Corona Smith, that was the name of the brand, Corona Smith. Those were like the big ones back then. And I got to see actually the beginning, of video games, because I got to play the old Atari 1200, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I got to experience that. I got to see one of the first cell phones. It was a big thing. It looked like a brick.
I remember that. I remember that. They were, light gray with the black antenna?
Yes, exactly. They were huge. Yeah. They call it brick.
Yeah, you would need to charge it for hours, and it would just work for like minutes.
And don't forget the cameras, the ones you had to put the film inside.
Ah, yes, the instant
camera. And then go take it to Walmart to have it developed.
Yeah, that's gone, man.
Those were the good old days.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember Walkmans? Did you own a Walkman by any chance?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact,
a very popular product.
Yes, I did. The original Walkmans.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember.
And then eventually the Discman came out.
Yeah. Well, we switched cassettes for CDs later on.
Yes, exactly.
And now, I mean, it's they're like antiques already.
Yes.
Because everything is digital now.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, I got to go through that transition when it comes to technology, man.
All right. What? When did you come back to Monterrey? What year was it? Do you remember?
As a matter of fact, it was 2012.
Okay. All right.
When I came
so,
back.
So, internet and everything, you went through that in the United States, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. Uh-huh. Did you own a laptop when you were in the States or a computer?
It was actually just a desktop, a computer.
Desktop computer.
Yes, it was a desktop. You know, laptops were not accessible yet.
Yes, no, you're right. Yeah.
You know, so if you had one, it was because you paid a lot of money.
Yeah, I remember the first one I got was a used one. It was not really a new one. I mean,
yeah.
It was a used one. Yeah, they were not accessible back in the day. Like computers and everything, they were like really expensive at the very beginning.
Yes, and I mean, if we go back to the 80s, I mean, they had some of those computers were like a little bit big, you know?
Yes. Yes, you're right. The first one
was like black and white. They were not like color.
Yeah, the first one, they really looked like typing machines.
Kind of like that, yes.
The very first ones, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember those. IBM, I think it was the first one to make it. They were making them smaller and smaller, but still they were like huge. Like,
yes.
Compared to the ones today.
Yes. So, yes, I've gone through that transition, man. Technology, music, fashion, and everything, man.
Yes. I mean, I remember, the 80s? It was very colorful, right?
And, yes, very.
90s, I guess, it was...
90s, it was like baggy pants.
Yes.
And kind of like raggedy
the better.
T-shirts. Yeah.
And write me if I'm wrong, but it was a decade when people started to wear brands on their clothes, like Nike or whatever.
Nike
would show up on the clothes. I mean,
well, Nike, it's been going on for a while because I remember Nike when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, of
and
course,
from
Nike's
the 80s.
From the 80s. So, and even when I was in junior high, yeah, I remember seeing some kids, you know, wearing some of those Nike tennis shoes, or there was a brand of pants. They don't have them anymore. But back then, they were kind of like, whoa, they were the in thing. They were the Sergio Valentes, you know. They were kind of like Levi's, things like those, but they were Sergio Valentes, and they were like expensive, man.
I've never heard of them, but I'm
because those
they
go
must
way
have been
back. I mean, those go good. Way back. 82, somewhere around there.
Do you remember the first concert that you went to, or one of your first concerts, and who did you see in this concert?
It was actually in Mexico, man.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
What band did you see?
It was, who was the first one? There was a Mexican band.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it was Maná.
Ah, okay. All right.
It was Maná. I mean, I'm talking about back in the early 80s when Maná was like really, really hitting it big.
Yes, it was the beginning of the band.
Yeah. Actually. I'm talking about like, my, I don't know,
80s and then 90s. There was like their decade. 90s was their decade, basically.
They yes, exactly. The so they were really big at that time. And that was my first concert, I think. It was them, and then I got to see also Enanitos Verdes, also back in the mid-90s, Enanitos Verdes. Those were like my first two concerts, man.
Oh, great, man. Hey, do you play any instruments?
No, man, actually don't.
You don't?
It's the last time I played an instrument, it was way back when I was in high school, man. I only played the guitar just for a little bit, but then I just cut.
You didn't take up on it? Okay.
No.
It was just for the classes.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what book do you recommend people read? I mean,
Oh gosh. Ooh, boy.
maybe there are several, but once you would recommend to people, yeah, for any reason or any book, I mean, English or Spanish, don't worry, I mean, it doesn't really have to be any.
Well, Spanish, my first Spanish books that I actually read when I came back, there were like four books of what is the name of this guy? Cuauhtémoc
Ah,
Sánchez.
yeah, Carlos, Carlos
Carlos
Cuauhtémoc.
Cuauhtémoc, exactly, Carlos
Yeah, he
Cuauhtémoc
has
Sánchez. He, man, I read about two,
interesting
three, like
books.
three books, and he's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Un grito desesperado,
Yeah,
Juventud
the
en
stories are like
éxtasis.
really real.
And so I actually like them, you know. Carlos, I like his style. He's pretty good, man. English book, I've read Frankenstein. I've read so many books, man. I've read so many books. The street, some classics like Streetcar Named Desire. I've read when I was in high school. I remember I read Hamlet.
Ah, of course, yeah,
You
that's a
know,
classical one.
yes, because that time we were reading British literature.
Yes.
You know, A Streetcar Named Desire, The Cask of Amontillado. Some of those are classic books, you know. But
Yeah,
I've
of
read
course.
so many books, man.
Do you have a favorite actor or actress that you like to watch in movies or maybe
You know,
TV shows?
it's kind of hard for me to have a favorite of someone or something, man. I like so many things, and but when it comes to actors, oh gosh, man, you're talking about the old school actors like Jack Nicholson.
Yes, of course.
You're
I know
talking
you
about
like
Robert De
Stallone, right?
Niro, Pacino, Joe Pesci.
Okay.
I mean, even what's his name? Sylvester Stallone,
Yeah.
man. I have to give him credit. Man, I've seen a bunch of girls like Barbara Streisand, you know, Whitney Houston. When she actually made some movies, she did, you
Yeah.
know, she
She
did really
had yeah,
good.
like two or three movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bodyguard, that's a very popular movie from the
Yes,
90s.
that's a good movie. It
Especially
is.
here in Monterrey. I remember that movie. I remember Ghost.
Ghost, yeah. Patrick
Sister's
Swayze,
Act.
yeah. Patrick Swayze. And then with Demi Moore, of course.
And then a few TV shows as well.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean,
So,
I have so many things, man.
yeah, I know. There are so many actors, right?
Yeah.
Actually, on Sunday with the Oscars, after the stupid thing that Will Smith did, they actually no, she presented an award. Liza Minnelli,
Oh yes,
she
Lady
presented
Gaga,
an
right?
award with Lydia. Yeah, man, that
Yeah,
was the
I
man.
remember Liza Minnelli, one of her movies. It was New York, New York.
I thought she honestly, dude, I thought she was dead. I thought she had passed away until like, what is she doing here? Wait,
Yeah, she's
oh,
still around,
she's still
man.
alive. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
And I
Liza
mean,
Minnelli.
she was like, I guess she was nervous. I don't know if you saw the video, but she was nervous. Like,
I
she
didn't
didn't
get to
really know
see
what to
though,
do.
but
But
yes.
Lady Gaga was really kinder, really
Yes, she
helpful.
was.
Like she kept it like really, really nice. She was like, she behaved like a lady, man.
Yeah.
With Liza Minnelli. And then my friend Will Smith, I mean, I don't know what happened, dude. I mean,
He just
just
snapped
I
out,
thought
bro.
it
He
was,
just
yeah, but
snapped
I thought
out.
it was, I thought they were kidding. I thought it was acting, but no, then I heard
Apparently
the
not.
slap.
Apparently
I heard
not.
the slap, and I was a horse. That was real.
Yes.
But anyways, he's gonna be remembered for that.
Yes.
People don't really care about the Oscar he won. I mean, everyone's gonna remember these Oscars edition because of this. And it was a
Yeah, I
stupid thing.
mean, I
But
still give
anyways.
him credit as an actor because he's done some good movies. He might not be a good actor like the ones I mentioned a few minutes ago, but you know, he does all right. But oh well,
Did
things
you know
happen.
that the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
Yes.
it was just an idea, and this guy, what was his name? The Michael Jackson's producer, Quincy Jones, I
Quincy
think was
Jones.
it?
Quincy Jones.
He had an idea. He had the idea of the TV show, and he basically sold it to, I think it was NBC.
Okay.
He just had the idea. He didn't have anything. And mm-hmm. and he knew Will Smith. He was trying to start a career as a rapper.
Yeah.
So Quincy saw something in him, and then he invited him to his house. And hey, come here. We're going to do this. I mean, some people are going to come here, and there's going to be an idea of a TV show. I mean, basically, they basically sold the idea. And Will Smith, he was not an actor back then. Mm-hmm. But he told him, you know what, Will, you got to audition for this guy. He didn't. I mean, they basically improvised everything. And the people from NBC, they believed everything. That's the way they sold it. It was just,
yeah, yeah.
Nothing was improvised.
But yes, I remember Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I kind of like that show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's very popular. Still, I mean, wherever he goes, everybody remembers Will Smith because of the TV show. I mean, he was very, very popular back in the days. I mean, and it was basically because, in a way, I think it changed, you know, culturally speaking, it changed a lot of things. And I guess it changed, basically opened people's minds, or like in my case, about, you know, Black people, you know, Black culture. It was like uh-huh. a different thing. It was like a different perspective, like a different thing. And it was, they show a lot of things that Black people go through every mm-hmm. day, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, when you were there in the States, did you go to American restaurants? Because I know it's Texas. Yes. I mean, it's like the capital of food.
Yes, I went to so many of them. I mean,
restaurants. Is there one that you go to here in Monterrey? I mean, because, I mean, they brought them here, basically, like a few of them.
Well, as a matter of fact, there's one that I actually like going to quite uh-huh. often when I was living over there. Uh-huh. It is an Italian restaurant. Okay. It is Olive Garden.
Ah, of course, yeah.
And there's one kind of close to my place where I live.
Is it still in Monterrey?
Yes. Right there in, what's the Plaza Nahuac.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's one of the places I like going over there, because, you know, I like Italian food, but I like the servings they had there. Uh-huh. The salad, it was so fresh, you know. The servings were, like, you know, good portions.
All right, do you remember going through a drive-thru in the States?
Yes, many times, bro. Many times.
That was experience of it.
I mean, it's part of their culture.
Yes.
You know, drive-thru is just an American culture.
Do you remember the first time you had to order on a drive-thru?
I sure don't remember, but I remember the first time I went to a McDonald's.
Okay, all right.
When I was living over here in Mexico, I didn't know McDonald's. I didn't know nothing about that.
Of course.
When I got over there, I was like, McDonald's, because McDonald's has been around like forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you see a McDonald's commercial on TV like mm-hmm. every hour or every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. And then finally, I got to go to my first McDonald's, and I was like really impressed.
Because I believe I came here. They came here. I'm sorry. They came. McDonald's came to Monterrey like on the late 80s.
Or the early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s. But it wasn't that popular at the beginning. It took them like probably a couple of years.
Yes.
To make it popular. Yes. And it was basically when they brought the Happy Meals.
Yeah.
To Monterrey. Because I remember once they brought the Happy Meals, that was it. Kids were like hooked.
But I think McDonald's, that was like my first, you know, fast food experience over there. But then eventually I started going to other hamburger places.
You ever been to Taco Bell?
Oh, of course I have. I did. Of course I did.
That's very Mexican American.
Living in Texas, it's like you have to go to a Taco Bell. You know?
The question is, do you like it? I mean, because I didn't, okay. Honestly. I went a few times and I was like, no, I never got like a taste for it, but I mean,
I was living over there, bro. You get used to the food.
After a long time. I mean, it's not actual Mexican food. So the people,
of course,
no, right? I mean,
you cannot compare to the original.
I guess it's Tex-Mex in a way.
You just can't. Uh-huh. But it was okay. I mean, you get used to it. You get used to the. You have to adapt yourself to the culture, man.
Yeah, I mean, when you get hungry,
you eat it. Exactly. I mean, you're hungry. You're just gonna eat it. You know.
But no, because do you remember a restaurant in Texas called Taco Cabana? By any chance,
bro? I used to go there like almost every weekend.
That was my favorite one.
Of course, I remember going to Taco Cabana. Yes, of course.
I would go at least once a month.
Yeah.
And the first time I went, I was like, man, I love
that. I used to go there quite often.
And I remember I dated a lady, an American one, and she had never been there. And I took it there, and she loved it, man. She was hooked like right away.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, you...
And we would go there like very often.
To experience a little bit of the Mexican thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it was really nice to go there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, so did you learn to drive in the United States?
Yes. Now, but here in Mexico, I kind of had my first baby steps, you know?
Right. But so you had the basics and then...
Yeah, but I actually started driving in the States, yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because it's a big change. I mean, the cultural... Driving here in Monterrey is different. I mean, but
yes, it is. It is.
You have to drive, I guess, more aggressively.
Defensively. Sadly, but true.
Yeah, I mean, do you still have any books from your university, from college?
Not here in Monterrey, not here. But I still have some, but not here, not with me.
How many, do you remember what the biggest book you had to like read?
Yes. I mean, I studied my biology. I studied the medical lab. So yes, I remember probably my biggest, thickest book was my biology book or were my biology books.
How many pages do you estimate?
About 300 pages, about.
Okay, that was.
They were like big books, you know. They were not like pocket books. They were big books, and I also remember my genetics books, my microbiology book. They were kind of heavy too.
Yes, of course. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's a lot of information sometimes. I mean.
Yes.
So, especially in biology, because it's a very. It's one of the first majors, right?
Yeah,
that were established, and there's a lot of information that people have to.
Yes,
you had to learn them in.
Yeah.
How long was it? How many years did you have to study to become a biologist?
Well, getting a biology, what they call a biology bachelor's, which is kind of like a equivalent to a licenciatura. Uh-huh. It's about the same thing as here, about 5 years.
5 years. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, but I was doing also my other. Little or my second minor, which was the medical lab, so I was doing those two at the same time.
Oh, of course,
you know.
All right, dude. I guess we can stop here. We can continue. Okay.
Thanks for inviting me, bro. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for your time. I mean, I know we're doing this in our free time, but I mean, it's fun, as you can see. I mean,
we
talk about anything. Next time, I'll bring a few topics.
Sure.
That we can talk about. I mean, questions we can discuss, or if you have any ideas, just let me know.
Sure.
And if you want to invite anyone or more people, let me know. I mean, because we can do this from home. We don't really have to get together.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And because, I mean, getting together means we need to buy like more professional equipment.
Sure. That's not really I know.
But I mean, we can do it from home like this, and we can invite more people. And the idea is just to have fun. You know, we practice English. People listen to us. I mean, and they also practice English, and that's the idea.
Yep.
All right.
That's
okay.
Cool,
let me just say goodbye to the guys. I mean, all right, people. That's it for tonight. We thank Felix Urrola for joining us today, and we're gonna invite him.
Thank you, guys.
More episodes in the future, and we're gonna continue talking and have fun. Right. Okay.
All right, guys.
Felix. Thank you very much. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for inviting.